I want to read four scriptures. The first one is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are amiable, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if any praise, think on these things. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Think of what I say, for the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider well him who endured so great contradiction from sinners against himself, that ye be not weary, fainting in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, wrestling against sin. And then finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, John 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten with a Father, full of grace and truth. When I gave out the hymn that we've just sung, you probably thought I was going to give a word about committal or dedication. Well, actually, you're wrong. If you might have worked out that I want us to think together about thinking. It's a wonderful thing that we have not only been given a body, but we've been given a mind. But for the Christian, he has, according to Romans 12, a renewed mind. That is, that we don't think as the world thinks, because God has worked in our hearts that we might think differently. In fact, that we might think like God does. By the way, as an aside, it's very sad when a believer lapses back into thinking like the world. It's a danger that's present within us. But in Romans 12, the injunction is that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I read four scriptures which dwell with this, deal with this subject. The first one in Philippians is what I would call a general principle, a general thing. He says, for the rest, brethren. And then he lists these features, which are very good and wholesome features. They don't emanate from someone who's bound in sin. These things come from the renewed mind. And we referred in the reading this afternoon to what we feed on. And if we feed on rubbish, if we feed on what is bad, then the outcome will be the same. But the Christian has a different viewpoint altogether. The question is what we're feeding on. What we're looking at, what we're hearing, what we're talking about. What does it say here? Whatsoever things are pure, what things are amiable, whatsoever things are of good report. That would cut out tittle-tattle and gossip, wouldn't it? Are we able to bring a good report? The two spies, they brought back a wonderful report, didn't they? But they weren't believed. So that's just a challenge. This is like, this is the opening scene, if you like, there's a challenge as to what we're thinking. It says, all these lists of things, they're good things. And it's something as Christians, we should be occupied with that which is good. And we should encourage one another along those lines. That we promote what is good. And what does he say? He says, after this list, he says, if there be any virtue and if any praise. So what I think about, what I do, what I speak about, is it going to help somebody else? Is it going to result in some praise to God? Are we glorifying God by what we do? Paul says, glorify now then God in your body. So he says, if there's any virtue, if there's anything good from what I do, if there's any praise, think on these things. That's a good start, isn't it? It's a good recipe for a Christian life which is honouring the Lord Jesus and honouring God and building up one another. Think on these things. I must admit that very often, if I'm brutally honest, I lapse into thinking about all sorts of things. The enemy, of course, delights for you to be occupied with anything else but Christ. He'll do his utmost in the glad tidings, you know. We have people come along in Worthing and we're very glad to see them. But, you know, the enemy is trying to distract them with all sorts of things. The enemy would do anything rather than the soul be brought to Christ. But then even as believers, the same enemy would try and distract us. He would try and get us to think of all sorts of things. You see people, and I'm guilty, you walk down the road with some earphones and, you know, there's music and all the rest of it. Satan doesn't want you to think. And we live in a world today, dear brethren, where Satan would occupy you 24/7 so that you don't think, even as believers. But here the injunction is from Paul that these wonderful things, which come from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus and he being the centre of your life. The result is, if there be any virtue, any praise, then what you need to do is to think on those things. I just leave that with you as a general principle of the Christian. It would help us if we have the renewed mind, if we think differently to those around. And every believer, you know, if he's saved, he should think differently to the world. Then we have that impetus to think good things, and the result should be virtue. There should be love and there should be praise. There should be something going back to God himself. And also, as we were saying this afternoon, something for the building up of our brethren. I move on to the second passage that we read. Timothy, you know, is an interesting young man, a young Christian. He had a good heritage, didn't he? And he learnt a lot from Paul. He was his child in Christ. You know, Paul, however, said some things which were difficult. Peter even acknowledged that. He said, they're difficult things to understand. You know, some people say, well, it's only Paul. Well, if you go down that road, you might as well throw out Romans. You might as well throw the gospel away. There are things which are difficult to understand. Head covering, some people dispute greatly. The authority on the head. What does Paul say to Timothy here? He says, think of what I say. Well, that's a good start to think of what Paul says. Because as Peter affirms in his epistle, what Paul says is scripture and it's God's word. He says, think of what I say. And then what does he say? Does he say, well, just work it out, make the best of it, you'll arrive at a solution? No, he doesn't say that. He says, the Lord will give you understanding. And if you have a question, if you have a problem with something in the scripture, where do you go? There's only one reliable source. That's the Lord himself. The Lord will give you understanding. And it says in all things. Well, that's a big scope, isn't it? Does that mean that we're spiritual know-alls? No, it doesn't. But you know, as having the Spirit of Christ and as taking his leading and as being subject to him as the head, we learn in spiritual maturity and we see people grow in their knowledge of the truth. We've seen people in Worthing grow, young people grow in the truth. That's a wonderful thing to see. Would it be more? Maybe as older ones, do we know how to promote it? Do we know how to foster it? But ultimately, it's not me or anybody else that gives understanding, but it's the Lord. He will give you understanding in all things. So therefore, dear brethren, Paul and other ministry, anything in the scriptures, if you have a difficulty, if you don't understand, go to the Lord. Think of what I say. Contemplate. Don't dismiss it out of hand. You know, there's many prejudices amongst believers. And sometimes we dismiss stuff out of hand. What my burden is tonight is you should think. Contemplate. Weigh it over. Think of what I say. And the Lord will give you understanding. I believe Timothy got that understanding. Question of whether you or I go to the Lord. Very often we run to somebody else, or we run to books, or dare I say, to the internet. The Lord will give you understanding in all things. I read the third scripture, Hebrews. I love this chapter. We're exhorted to look upon Jesus as the one who was an object of shame, and yet he's set down now at the right hand of the throne of God, been exalted there. But then the writer brings in something. He says, for consider well, and it's worth reading the note there, weigh so as to judge its value, and sometimes in comparison with other things. We need to weigh. You think of the path of the Lord Jesus and his sufferings. I have to say that I don't think about the sufferings of the Lord enough. Yes, he's now in glory. The suffering is over. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. But I think, you know, it does us well to contemplate the sufferings of Jesus. I know our local brother used to, before he went, he used to often quote the Man of Sorrows. I don't know if you've read the whole thing. We've got quite a few verses in our hymn book. I think that's one of J&D's greatest masterpieces, actually. The Man of Sorrows. Consider well. That means you don't just browse over it and move on. But you weigh it up, you think about it, consider well. So great contradiction from sinners against himself. We don't know in this country much about contradiction from sinners. There are dear believers who face death. Nigeria, North Korea. The way things are moving, it may be that we may face a little persecution. The enemy is dead set against the Lord, isn't he? But our example is the Lord himself. What was railed against him? The life of Jesus, you know, Satan did his utmost to stop the Lord at every point. Even at one point using his own disciple Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is not on the things of God. Mind. Peter wasn't thinking right. His mind was not on the things of God. So, whatever our circumstances, and they may be tough, they may be difficult, and they may get increasingly difficult, but we have this wonderful model in the Lord Jesus, the Supreme One who suffered. He endured contradiction. He endured. And I think the call for us, dear brethren, is to contemplate it, to think about it. Read the Man of Sorrows. Read the scriptures. Think about it. It's a good thing to think. What are we thinking about? It's just occurred to me, you know, we read Genesis 24. What was Isaac doing when he went out into the fields? What was he doing? He says he went out to meditate. I wonder how much time you and I give to meditating on the word. The psalmist, you know, there's quite a bit in there about meditating. Psalm 119, if you read it all. Meditate upon thy word, thy precepts, thy commands. How easy it is just to read the scripture and just brush over it and say, well, that's done for today. You need to think about it. Weigh it over. But at the end of the day, you might read a lot of scripture, you might spend time thinking about it, which is good. But ultimately, the best time you can spend is thinking about the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus. Consider well. Give time to it. Think about it seriously. Because if you do, you'll gain experience and you'll gain knowledge and a deeper impression of the Lord Jesus himself. I don't intend to be long. John's Gospel. This is the disciple. And the Word, that's Jesus himself, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have contemplated his glory. Now, when I was doing a little background study to this, JND is the only version that uses that word. Most of the other versions say, we saw, we beheld. JND says, contemplated, which gives a different nuance, doesn't it? I was rather intrigued, so I looked, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I looked up the Greek, and I didn't understand it at all. And that I got a bit stumped. So what do you do when you're stumped? You turn to the internet. And now I don't promote AI. By the way, anything that man invents can be used for good or evil. But I plugged in John 1:14, and it came back with an answer which was very helpful. And it said that JND's word here is the most accurate, because it not only is a light-for-light translation, but it gives them the nuance, the meaning of what the apostle was trying to say. And he said he came out with the word contemplated. So this is the most accurate translation. And I'm glad it is, because it makes me think, what a subject, he contemplated. What does it mean to contemplate? To think over, not just a quick thought and then it's gone, but to meditate, to weigh it up. And that's why I started with 272. Because someone pointed out to me some time ago, what does it say? When I look at, when I think about, see, when I survey. What's a survey? It's a comprehensive overview. If you buy a house, you don't want someone who just brushes through and leaves bits out. You want a comprehensive finding of all the aspects. When it comes to the cross of Calvary, do we just reverently say, have a quick glance? It doesn't say when I glance, does it? When I survey. That means that you contemplate deeply and fully all that it meant for Jesus to go to the cross. We sing this hymn a lot, and as I said in the prayer, every time I sing it, I feel more challenged. But there it is, the cross. He endured so great contradiction against himself. Consider well that blessed man. When I survey. When you think really about what was going on at the cross. When you think what Jesus did. And who he was that did it. The blessed Son of God. And yet he did it for each one of us individually. And he did it for the whole church, of which we've been speaking this afternoon. For he loved the assembly and gave himself for it. He delivered himself for it. That pearl of great price, he sold whatever he had. That's worth surveying, isn't it? It's worth looking at the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross. I've finished with this thought. The one who wrote that hymn, he talks about this momentous transaction, but then there's an answer. And that's the final thought I'd leave with you. If we're thinking about these things, if we're contemplating them, consider well these things, then it's not just to stay there in your mind, but there should be a result in my life. We sing, don't we? Demands my soul. Not ask gently. Please. Demands my life. My soul, my life, my all. I think you can only sing that if you survey the wondrous cross and all that it means to God and to Jesus himself and to you. Survey it. And then I think the only response is to dedicate yourself totally to him. Well, I leave that with you. Maybe, indeed, think on these things. Amen.